Go to Philippians chapter 4, please. We're going to look at the doctrinal walk tonight. And we're going to learn from the scriptures that although doctrine is important and our walk is important, there's a third element that is more important, and that's the truth of God's word. Because a lot of people have doctrines, but they don't necessarily correspond with the truth of God's word. So when you get all three lined up, you're in good shape. When our doctrine can represent the truth of God's word, and our walk can represent the truth of God's word, then we're doing good. In Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 9, and what I'm going to do tonight is I'm just going to take you through some of God's word and show you how this concept appears. It's throughout the word. And as I begin to point them out for you, you'll see it for yourself. Chapter 4, verse 9 says, "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." And here you have both. You have the doctrine of the word, and you have the practical application, or the walking of the word. It says, "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me." You see? They learned it. They received it. They heard it. They were learning the doctrine that he was teaching. That's the doctrine of the word. It's what they've learned, they've received, they heard, and they saw. Then, simply, the walk of the word is what?
Do.
Do it, right? So you learned it, you saw how somebody did something, you heard how somebody did something, you've learned it, and then once you learn it, you simply what? You do it. So you have the doctrine of God's word, and you have the doing of God's word. Go to Luke chapter 8. See, because the one without the other is not good, right? And if you have both and they're not based on truth, then that's not good either, right? Look at Jesus in Luke 8, verse 19. It says, Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. There are a bunch of people around him, and they couldn't get close to him. And it was told him by certain which said, "Thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see you." And he answered and he said unto them, "My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God," which would be the doctrine he was teaching, right? And then what?
Do it.
So again, you see, it's the hearing of the word, and then it's the doing of the word. John 13, in verse 17, it says, "If you know these things," the knowledge of the word, the doctrine of the word, it says, "happy are you if you what?
Do them."
So if you know these things and you don't do them, you're going to be what? Not good, right? Look at 2 Thessalonians. So it's not enough just to know them. If you want to be blessed, if you want to be happy, you got to practically apply them in your life. In 2 Thessalonians, in verse 3, I'm sorry, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 4, it says, "And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we," what? See, it's reversed here. It's the doing and you will do, but it's the doing of what? The things that they spoke, which would not be, you know, sit up and speak or roll over. That's not the command they're giving them. The commands that they were giving them were God's word. So it's the doing again of the doctrine of the word. You know this one. We say it all the time here. It's one of my pet verses that I really enjoy because I learn a lot about it every time I read it, but James 1:22. But be ye what? Doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Once you hear the word, the doctrine of the word, then you're supposed to be a what? And it goes as far as to say that if you don't, you deceive yourself. We read in John where it says if you do it, you're happy. If you don't do it, you're going to be something, but not happy. 1 John. See, so even back in the garden, when you begin to see that, God gave Adam and Eve specific things. He told them the doctrine of the word. And then he not only told them then, he told them to guard and to keep the garden. He told them to do something with it. And so they got talked out of it. But the doctrine of truth, of what God... See, doctrine is what is right, how to believe rightly. What God presented to Adam and Eve is what he wanted them to believe and to do and act rightly, and they didn't. In 1 John, in chapter 3, verse 22, it says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments." We keep his commandments and what? Do those things that are pleasing in his what? See, the keeping of the commandments, before you can keep the commandments, you got to what? You got to know the commandments. And then it says that you do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Here's the apex of the teaching. Wouldn't it be great if we could just forget, if we forgot about everything else tonight, that if we could just do those things that are pleasing in his sight. That if somehow we could memory peg that into our mind, and when we're living our lives, wherever we're at, and whatever we're doing, that we would do those things that are pleasing in his sight. How many fights would that avoid? How many problems? How many, you know, we could just do those things that are pleasing in his sight. But how many times... You don't have to raise your hand. Stop that. How many times today did you think about that, right? I just want to do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Because we lose track of that. Because the world does everything it can to suck our minds and our lives away from Jesus, away from God. That's why we have to gather. It's not here that's special. It's the gathering together that's special, that you edify one another, you encourage it. There's people gathering all around the world tonight, and yesterday, and other days. But they gather to be together. They gather around the Word, because all day long, the world tries to talk you out of the Word. All day long, the world sets at your feet leeches of the world, and they attach to you. And they suck the word out of you. They suck the word out of you by fear. A leech of fear. If you've got a leech of fear, pull it off and throw it away. A leech of anxiety. A leech of worry. Doubt that God's not going to be able to provide or that this isn't going to happen. They just, one thing after another. That's what the world gives you. And that's why we gather together. But when we're in the world, if you can just remember, we want to do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And I'm going to tell you right now, if we do those things that are pleasing in God's sight, we're not going to be pleasing to people of the world. Because the people of the world are on the other side of the fence sometimes. John chapter 15. Jesus had a lot of acquaintances. You know, I think I read... Yeah, I was reading online last night, and I've heard this all my life because my father taught me this. And they talk about acquaintances, about friends. I think they put it into like four categories. Acquaintances, friends that you see occasionally, friends that you see pretty much, and then bosom pals, like, you know, real good friends. And even on what I was reading about is you have a lot of acquaintances and you have a lot of the first three. But if you have a handful of what you can call a genuine friend, from, and this is the way they describe the genuine friend. The acquaintance is the guy at the Starbucks. Hi, Joe. Or the guy at Dunkin' Donuts. Give me, you know, a bow tie. That's what I got 2 days ago. Did you ever see them? They're like glazed donuts, but they look like a bow tie. Anyway, this, that. Then the friends that you might see at, say, the office, you might share a cup of coffee with them, whatever. And then closer friends and neighbors that might be next door, this sort of thing. But when you got to the last one, who's your bosom pal, remember, Anne of Green Gables? She used to say bosom lifelong buddies or something like that. It says, a bosom pal, a friend, is someone who has seen you in every aspect of your life and still loves you. They've seen you at your worst, it says, and it says they've seen you at your best, and they still love you. That's a real friend. That's a real friend. Then went on to say that God has seen us at our worst, and he's seen us at our best, and he still loves us. And we're encouraged because the Bible says that Abraham was what?
Friend of God.
And Abraham, he was a good guy, but he had some times in his life too, right? In John 15, I'll show you how I got to all of that about friends. Verse 14, you are my what? Friends. But he just didn't leave it there. He said, you're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Okay. Jesus Christ had a condition. Sometimes when you read the word if in the Bible, it doesn't set a conditional clause. Sometimes when you read the word if in the Bible, it does set a conditional clause. And Jesus wanted to know, he loved people, but he says, if you're my friends, if you listen to what I say, and what he said was what? Was the doctrine of God's word. And he said, listening just wasn't good enough, that I want you to what? I want you to do it. If you do it. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. I just want to check this version because sometimes I put versions in here and I don't put the note up. 4:16 is where we're going to go. Yeah, that's it. 4:16. Take heed unto thyself and unto what? Doctrine. And that's, you're no good to nobody unless you take heed to yourself. You have to take time for yourself. If you don't take time for yourself, you're not going to be able to help anybody. You're not going to be able to see straight spiritually. You're going to be physically exhausted. You're going to be mentally agitated. You're going to be weak all the way around. You got to take time for yourself and take heed unto the doctrine. Continue in them, then look what it says. For in what? Doing this, thou shalt save thyself and them that what? See, it's only after that you take heed to yourself and unto the doctrine, unto the truth of God's word. Then continue in them. Be faithful. It's not that you hear the Bible scripture once and it says, oh, okay, I understand what that means. Then be faithful. Faithful is over a period of time. Even when you don't get what you need, you continue to pray. Even when you don't get what you need, you continue to believe. You know what I'm saying? You continue to hold that picture. You're faithful. Then it says, for in doing this, in doing what? In taking heed unto yourself, taking heed unto thyself, in taking heed unto the doctrine of the word, and being faithful. For in doing this, in doing those things, thou shalt both save thyself. Well, you can't save yourself the way Jesus saved you. What it means is make yourself whole. Accomplish that which is lacking in your life. But it's after taking heed unto yourself, taking heed unto the doctrine, continuing in the doctrine. It produces salvation, wholeness, that which you need in your life. And them that what? That hear you. You see, because if you're trying to teach somebody something and you're not together yourself, you're not going to be able to help them. You're not going to be able to do that. That was chapter 4, verse 16. Look at verse 12. This is the NIV, I believe. Latter part of the verse says, set an example. Set an example. Be thou an example. Okay, it says, be thou an example of the believers. How do you be an example of the believers? Yeah, yes, but it's what? It's in your what? Your walk, right? Because you can't see the example anywhere else unless the guy's opening his mouth, and even that's in his walk. It's your walk. If you are an example, it means that you're walking on the word. And what Timothy is encouraged here by Paul, it says, set an example or practice in your practice for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, in purity, etc., etc. You see, that which is pure doctrine of charity, that which is pure doctrine of faith, that which is pure doctrine, you see, it's be an example of the doctrine of the word, of the truth of the word. The word says that you're kind and tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God forgave you for Christ's sake. So when we have a little tit, we do what? We forgive one another. Instead of saying something abrasive, you say it in a kind way. See? Be tender-hearted. Be kind. Be loving. Be compassionate. Put yourself in the other person's shoes. That's learning the word, and then that's doing the word. Oh, here's a good one. Philippians chapter 1. Chapter 1. Let's go in King James and see where this is at. Philippians 1, verse 9. It says, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more, and more in knowledge and in judgment. I have, and this is my prayer, I think this is the NIV, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. In knowledge and depth of insight. In other words, that's a doctrine of the word. That's what knowledge is. Reason being, verse 10, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. So you know what is best. You know what is best because that your knowledge and your depth of insight is growing, and that you may be pure and what? Blameless. You see, how do you stay blameless? You stay blameless in your walk. You stay blameless in the things that you do. See, because you can't see what I'm doing or anything right now and say he's blameless, but you can see that when I'm walking and the things that I'm doing, whether I'm blameless or not. And how long is that supposed to go on till? To the day of Christ, right? It's not like a one-time thing, you know. And again, what do you see there? Faithfulness, right? A repetition. And when you make a mistake, you do what? Pick yourself up and do what? Get back on the bicycle, right? And do it again. Here's a great one. Look at Ezra, if you can find it. It's in the Old Testament. Ezra was a scribe, and he was a man of God. And in Ezra chapter 7, Ezra 7, you there? If not, you can listen. Ezra 7, verse 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. So what's the law of the Lord? It would be what? The doctrine of the word, right? At that time, what was written? And he did what? He prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. See, he made a decision. This is what I'm going to do, and I want, and this is what I need to do to accomplish that. And he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to what? To do it. He wanted to learn the word, and then it says he wanted to do the word. And then you know what it says, because he was a teacher? It says, and to what? Teach in Israel statutes and judgments. And that's the same simple formula that a leader has to follow today. You prepare your heart to learn the word, then you do the word yourself, and then you teach the word. Right? It's not that you learn the word, and then you live like any way you want to live, and then you tell people to do what you say and not what you do. No. Ezra prepared his heart to learn the word, and to do the word, and to teach the word. And in doing that, he was blameless. Look at Psalm 119. A couple more. But you see it, and when you start to read, you know, maybe you'll read, oh, there's the doctrine, that there's the doing. They're coupled together. But to do those things which are pleasing in his sight is a good thing to leave here with. Psalm 119, verse 96. This is the NIV. I did put the notation in here. To all perfection, I see a limit. But your commands are boundless. In other words, he looks out and he sees man, what man can do, and man can only go so far. Even as beautiful as some of those, what were there, seven ancient wonders of the old world and the hanging gardens of Babylon, these sorts of, they were, and today they even look at some of them pyramids and how they get them doors to open, and just, it was amazing. But to all perfection, there was a limit. But God's commands are boundless, no limit to God. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands, listen to this, make me wiser than my enemies. He's talking about the word, the doctrine of the word, your commands, the knowledge of your word. It makes me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. You see? I said this to somebody not too long ago. The word makes you smart. It doesn't matter. You know, some of the leading idiots of this world have PhDs. Okay? And do you ever listen to some of the crap coming out of their mouths? They are so out to space, according to the scriptures. Right? And I know people don't have a GED. Is that how you say it? That have more brains doctrinally and practically than these guys that are flaunting all this junk. The word makes you wiser than your enemies, for they are ever with me. That means you've got to keep them in your mind. I have more insight, verse 99, than all my teachers. Why? For I meditate upon your statutes. I have more insight than all. And you know what? Some of our children that go to colleges, they do. They got more insight than all their teachers because they meditate upon the statutes of God's word. Verse 100. I have more understanding than the elders. Why? For I what? Obey your precepts. Obey your precepts. The obeying would be the what? The doing of the word, right? So you see again, it's the doctrine, it's the knowing of the word and what it produces, and it's the what? The doing of the word. Deuteronomy chapter 16, number 5 in the beginning of the book. God giving them some information. Sometimes it's good to know where you came from. God says in verse 12, and you shall remember that you were a bondman in Egypt. Remember where you came from, in other words, he's telling them. Thou shalt observe and what? Do these statutes. The observing would be the learning of what? The word. And then once you learn it, you what?
Do it.
Do it. Observe and do. Observe and do. Look at Acts chapter 1. This was pretty neat when I saw this, because I got to start working words, like do and this sort of thing, and doing word studies on them. And I've read this a zillion times, but look how the beginning, the first verse of the book of Acts starts out. It says, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to what? Do and teach." It's reversed. Doing, he taught, and what he taught was the doctrine, and he what? Do and teach. See how it's coupled together in the ministry of the Lord. And we're going to close in Matthew chapter 7. So even the book of Acts picks up where Jesus Christ left off. All that he began to do and teach. We saw that the word makes us wiser than our enemies. We saw that the word gives us more understanding than the elders. We saw that Jesus Christ said, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." And God's will for us in the Pauline epistles, especially in Philippians where we started out, says, "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." And then we saw in Timothy that we are to take heed unto what? Ourselves. And then take heed unto what? The doctrine. And then continue in them faithfulness. For in doing that, you're able to what? Make whole yourself. Supply those needs. Put yourself in a position. Not that you're going to supply them. You're putting yourself in a position where you're lined up with God. You're at the right door. See, you're here, but the open door is over here. So when you go, oh, there you are, and you get blessed. They were always there. It's just that you got to get around to them. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine," and what? "I will liken him unto" a what? "Wise man which built his house upon the rock." And it goes on and he says, if you hear these sayings and you don't do them, I'll liken you unto a what? Foolish man. See? So it's not only the hearing of the word, it's the what? Hearing and the doing. But more importantly than that, it's the hearing, the doctrine, the doing. But both the doctrine and the doing has to be based on the truth of the word. Because there's a lot of people that have gone like this. Because they want to follow the doctrine, they hear the doctrine, they do the doctrine, but the doctrine's corrupt. Right? And in the doing of that doctrine, what are they doing? Corrupt things. I sit there, I watch the TV sometimes, and it just keeps resurfacing. These guys who say they're Jesus or say they're the leader and there's nobody else talking to, God's not talking to anybody else but them. And then he gathered this little commune together with 100, 300, 400 people, you know. And then the women bring their children to them and say, "Here, sleep with the prophet. It's a great honor to sleep with the prophet." This one of these was on just the other week. Okay. And then they interviewed the girl and she said, "It was such an honor to be able to lay down naked and expose myself on the same bed with the prophet." And at 14 and 15, their mothers are giving them as wives to the prophet. It's a great honor to be married to the prophet. And the prophet's already got, in this particular one, I think he had 60 wives. Why you would want 60 wives, I got no clue. Huh?
A good one at that. But you know, and then it's all the same way, because when the cops came, you know what happened to the prophet? He said, "Exit stage right."
Right.
And they caught the prophet 2 years later. They arrested him, and I think they gave him, I don't know how many years in jail. But it's just amazing. But see, what that was, it was a doctrine. It was fear, was all kinds of stuff in there, but it was doctrine. And then they go to the word and say, "You want to do the word, be a doer of the word," right? So they did the doctrine. So it's not doctrine, it's not doing. There's something greater, there's something more valuable, and that's truth.
Because Jesus Christ said, you shall know the what?
Truth,
and the truth shall
make you free.
See, a bird in a bird cage, you open a bird, that sets him free. But he can get caught again and put back in the bird cage. But when you make that bird free, and he comes out and he gets caught, he holds up his freedom card. I am free. Get your paws off me. Or I'll poop on your head. And the guy says, okay, birdie, you got to go. That's the difference. How do we get on that? Let's pray. Father, thanks for your word. And thanks that we can not only learn your word and do your word, but we can learn the truth of your word. And when we apply the truth of your word, Father, that brings the freedom and that brings the deliverance that we need. Thanks for each person here. I ask that you bless their hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen.